Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio.
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 168 of Nerd Pride Radio. 168, the number of hours in a week, and also the number of dots on a standard set of double six dominoes. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D / Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. And my co-host this week, Hans Gruber. All right, before we get into the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast, updates. Man, we play a lot of games on my forums. A lot. So, let's see. Did we already talk about Deadpool? Yeah, you guys missed the Deadpool. We just closed that out. And, I know I told you there's a new hero battle coming up, Star Wars battle. So hopefully everyone who wanted to get in on that one got in, because we got like 14, 15 players. And that one I think is starting up. Well, probably by the time you're listening to this, I'll already be working on the first post. So I think that one's going. And did I mention that my brother's playing another, one of his forum games? That forum role-playing game where it play by post, and it's going to be we're playing background characters in the first Die Hard movie, which I think just the coolest idea. I don't know if he's got some kind of twist on it or if he just literally wants to see what happens when you play background characters in a very famous movie. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I'm excited about it. And that one doesn't start for at least a couple of weeks. There might even be a chance to still get in on that if someone wanted to. But anyway, man, we play a lot of games. So anyway, straight into the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever has been on my mind for the last week or so. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy week, I add it to my master list in my handy dandy pocket mod, and the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. So, straight into the master list, I'm actually going to start off.
And now for something completely different.
Yeah, with something completely different, just stuff I don't have a category for. And this last week, I have been sick as a dog. Still sick. I'm still coughing stuff up. It's ugly. And so I apologize for missing last week, but I think I worked a day and a half this week, and even that I probably shouldn't have gone into work. I mean, I was miserable, all upper respiratory stuff. And some of us in the family, like Noah woke up in the middle of the night one night, threw up for 15 minutes, went back to bed, hasn't been sick since. He's fine. So others of us, like me and Lisa, laid up like crazy. I didn't get as bad as Lisa. She got the fever and, she's just been sore and achy and can barely get out of bed, and it's just been miserable. So fortunately, finally today, feeling well enough to at least get up and be moving around and kind of got my stuff together. But if my voice sounds a little off, that's what's been going on. But yesterday, in fact, my mother-in-law, knowing that we were all sick, she wanted to come by and she's not, my mother-in-law, wonderful woman that she is not one who likes taking care of sick people. I mean, to her, it's like, oh, you're sick? Well, then go to bed. What's your problem? But she did want to help take care of us, so she brought around a huge pot of chicken noodle soup. I mean, and really awesome chicken noodle soup, because my mother-in-law is an extremely good cook. And so she brings by the chicken noodle soup. She didn't want to come in the house because she doesn't want to get herself sick, and I think she's sick anyway, so it's been going around. But she drops off the soup to us yesterday, and it was wonderful that she did it. And I was feeling well enough in the afternoon that I thought, Jacob is 30 miles away in his own apartment. His roommate's gone home for the weekend, so he is all alone there, just him and the hedgehog. And Jacob also sick like the rest of us, just dying over there. And I thought, you know what? It would be really nice. I'll pack up some soup for him, and I'll drive it on over to him. And also he had made some kind of mention of having Taco Bell cravings. So I got a hot pack together, put it all into a cooler, went and got him some Taco Bell because he doesn't have any in his town. And so I drove over with chicken noodle soup and Taco Bell, and he was so grateful and so thankful. And it was just a nice little trip. And so I get there and, you know, he's all miserable, but he graciously took the food, and he ate the Taco Bell right away. Maybe not the best idea when he's that sick, but oh man, he loved it. And then he's like, well, I'm not a great host, but you know, if you want to hang out. So he was watching, food porn, on the Food Network. It was, I don't remember what show we had entered into, but after I sat down with him, it got into, Chopped Junior. But anyway, we're watching, food shows and we're just making commentary to each other and doing our regular kind of conversation and stuff like this. And he points out to me, and this is where the nest for something completely different comes in. It never occurred to me, it probably should have, but it never occurred to me that it's somebody's job to score reality shows on the Food Network. And when I say score, I mean as in write the score, the music. Because if you listen, it's like someone scoring a cartoon or scoring a movie someone has to sit there and watch the entire finished product and then add over music, because the music plays up and down, with a little cymbal crash here at the right moment or a little, the little dramatic lifts and drops and stuff like this. And I've never paid attention to it. He's like, no, listen, they all do this. It's weird. I mean, somebody has to actually sit down and do this. And I was like, that is amazing. And I'm sure it's not just, you know, reality shows on the Food Network. All sorts of reality shows probably do this. All sorts of shows that I wouldn't have expected to have this probably do. And so now I'm paying attention to it. I mean, this just happened yesterday, but, it just fascinates me, the idea that, you know, you think about reality shows and how much footage goes into one of these shows, that they record all sorts of stuff and then they have someone whose job it is to edit it to help create the story that they want to present to the viewers, which may or may not be the story that actually took place on set. And then once they get it all put together and they have a finished product, then some musical talent has to sit there over the top of it and watch and score along with it to get those appropriate musical beats for it. I was just fascinated. Little stuff like that. And you just didn't even occur to me until Jacob pointed out. I just thought that was the coolest thing. And so now the whole rest of the show, I'm like, oh wait, you're right. Right there. Did you hear that? It was really cool. Anyway, minor stuff. This is all going to be really quick stuff. We'll see how the rest of the show goes. But what is next on my list? Oh, it's my gaming table. I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games. If it fits on my gaming table, I am here to share it with you. First off, actually, this just came up tonight. We're having another lock-in game night for the Scouts coming up, maybe in just a couple of weeks. We don't know if it's this month or next month. Either way, so excited. And since they're Boy Scouts and they have one of their objectives, they have to invite a friend who is eligible for Scouts but not currently in Scouts. They have to invite a friend to some sort of scouting event just to show off Scouts. And so, game night is the perfect night for doing that. So we're going to have, you know, we're going to get there in the afternoon, and then the Scouts are going to stay all night long, and I think the guests aren't going to stay overnight with us, but, you know, the guests will be there for a few hours, and we'll play all sorts of cool games, and I'm just really excited for this. It is going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, I mean, we had a great time last year. You know how I love game night every month. It's just going to be a good time. So that just came up just now. That wasn't actually what I was here to talk about. Oh, and also, I was just talking to Sarah Beth, and she reminded me that, oh, yeah, that's right. Gen Con badges go on sale this month. If you guys are going to Gen Con, and I am, badges go on sale at the end of this month, so get your badge and learn from my mistake last year. Get it mailed to your house. Seriously. Have it, order it plenty early. Get the $30 discount for doing the pre-sale. Have it mailed to your house. Have all your tickets and everything in hand when you show up at the door. Save yourself the literal half-mile line going back to the other end of the convention hall. So Gen Con's coming up. But that's also not what I'm here to talk to you about. I'm actually here just to talk about Secret Hitler again. I got Secret Hitler for Christmas, and my only regret on it is I just have the regular Secret Hitler. I don't have the magical Kickstarter box set that they had with the big wooden box and the, oh, that thing is gorgeous. I love the wooden box. But doesn't matter. Secret Hitler is on sale now. You can get it, go to secrethitler.com. You can order it through Amazon. You can buy Secret Hitler. It's there. So I did. I have it for Christmas, and now we took it to New Year's Eve at my in-law's place, and we Secret Hitlered all night. It was awesome. It was – all right. You guys, I've talked about Secret Hitler before, and just to give you the quick rundown, it's a hidden identity game. You have up to 10 people sitting around the table, at least 5, but it's best with 7, 8, 9 people, 10 if you can get them. And you get all the people around the table, and most of them are good law-abiding liberals, but a few of them are secretly fascists, and one of those fascists is secretly Hitler, thus Secret Hitler. And so as you go through, there's votes every round, and people get to select who they want their running mate to be, and you vote on stuff, and ultimately you just try and identify you try and figure out who Hitler is so that you can keep him from gaining power. Or if you are Hitler and the fascists, then you're trying to continue to pass legislation and get Hitler elected. And it is absolutely addictive. It is hypnotic, addictive. I am so into this game that usually each round, you know, you sit down for one game, it takes about 10, 15 minutes tops. I mean, they are quick. And it is one of the weirdest games in that the easiest way to teach somebody to play is literally sit them down and just start playing the game. And by the end of that round, they're like, oh, okay, I got it. No problem. And then they're in. Because if you try and explain the rules to somebody, because we kept doing that, it was at my in-law's place. And so all the family was there and everybody eventually got their turn coming in and playing. And, you know, people were very resistant because, it's got the name Hitler in it, so they're all worried about it. And then when they sit down, and most of them are very conservative Republicans in that family. And so when they're sitting down around the table and you have to tell them that the liberals are the good guys, immediately they think it's some sort of trick. And then they find out that, oh, no, this is – okay, 1930s Germany. Got it. All right, that's different. But we tried explaining the rules. As people would come in, the first couple of times we'd get new players in, we'd be like, all right, here's how we're going to do this. And then they're like, I don't get it. And finally, we just got to where someone new showed up at the table. We're like, ah, here, let's just deal you in there. We're going. And then they'd get it. You pick it up just as fast whether you've heard the rules or not. So, and it's just amazing. And like I said, we played forever. It finally got to midnight and we all went out to the TV to watch the ball drop and do hugs and kisses and all that stuff. And then we went back in, played a couple more rounds. And at that point, me and Lisa were just sacked. That was the day before I got sick. So, I was already starting to feel it. I think she was too. And so, I mean, we're just sacked and ready to go. But man, people were just clamoring. They're like, what? We can't play some more? We can't keep going? I'm like, man, I made a sale. It was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. So, don't tell Jacob, but we got Jacob's Secret Hitler for his birthday, which is coming up in just a week or so here. And at least two of the other people at the table were talking about that they were going to have to get Secret Hitler for themselves to play with their group of friends back home. So Secret Hitler is awesome. If I haven't sold you on Secret Hitler yet, I don't know what else I can do. It's at Amazon.com. Just go order yourself a set. You like games, you'll thank me. It's awesome. And next up, it's Pod People.
Pod People. Pod People. Pod People.
Yeah, this is just about the podcasts I listen to, and this is another quick one. Probably could have gone into updates right at the beginning. But Joel just pointed out to me that the Sayer podcast, has a season 4 coming. And I had unsubscribed from the thing because I just thought they were done. I mean, they kind of got to a final point, but apparently Sayer has a season 4. So if you took my advice and listened to Sayer last time I talked about it, just know that there's more Sayer coming. So keep your eyes open for it. Sayer is a sci-fi story podcast, told in an unusual style, but it is absolutely worth your time. And it is, is if you've ever played Paranoia or if you've been intrigued by my talk of the game Paranoia, then trust me, listen to Sayer, and it is very Paranoia-like in its construction and in its tones. And it's just a really fun podcast. It's really well done. And like I say, there's a season 4 coming. I got nothing to complain about. So that's it. That's all I got for pod people. I haven't been listening to anything new or different. Listen to lots of Doug Loves Movies lately. That's my go-to for filler. I just go back and I download a bunch of old episodes of Doug. And then that way, if I ever run out of podcasts, well, I've got Doug Loves Movies to fall back on. So I've been listening to a lot of that. But other than that, not much for pod people. Other than, hey, Sayer's coming back. So get some of that. Let's see. Do I want to do Roku? Do I? Yeah. I mean, again, there's nothing exciting to talk about. Okay, Roku! As long as I'm into the pod people, I'll do the same thing. That was what I was listening to. Here's what I'm watching. On Roku, which is just the streaming box that I used to use for all my television, and now I just use my smart TV. But let's see. I've been doing a lot of Hulu lately, since Hulu has all the episodes of Community, and I've never actually watched all the episodes of Community. I saw all of season 1, and then kind of like sporadically got other episodes here and there. And so now I've decided, you know what, I'm going to go back and start with season 2, where I left off, and just watch the whole thing. And I really love Community. Community is just a charming show. It's extremely subversive. It is, I love the idea that it looks like a regular sitcom in some ways. It has a lot of those same elements. And yet it's so intentionally learns lessons every week. The idea that how many times do we have to learn that friendship trumps everything, that, you know, the love of family and support and all that. I mean, again, it's intentionally cheesy. It's intentionally mocking itself as it goes along. And it's also kind of sweet, and you really like the characters. And I just really enjoy Community. It's a fun show. I finished up all of Archer. Archer is spectacular, and it leaves it it ended episode 6 or whatever it was. Ended it on a tagline to indicate that there's another season coming. I assume there is. I haven't checked. I know that there are 6 seasons on streaming. If they're making another one, I haven't seen it yet. But Archer, awesome. Once Upon a Time, I don't think this latest season is as good, but Hulu's got the first half of season 6 on it. So is everything I'm watching in season 6? Jesus. But it's Once Upon a Time. And I'm, again, it is so, so campy and dramatic and so full of itself. There's so much about it that seems like it should be bad television, but it's very addicting bad television. And so I really enjoy watching Once Upon a Time. I still do. So, you know, we're watching we're about 2 more episodes and we'll be done with this first half. They usually run, their season runs in 2 arcs. So you'll have the 2 main stories that run through the course of a season. So we're about to the end of the first story is what I'm thinking. But I don't know the exact episode numbers, but we're getting there. But then the last one, this was, did I mention The Man in the High Castle before? I cannot remember if I brought this one up on the last podcast or if I just meant to and that's the one I missed. I have no idea. But The Man in the High Castle, it's a Philip K. Dick story, and it is about the basic premise is a world in which the Nazis got the bomb before we did in World War II, and thus they wound up winning the war by dropping the bomb on Washington, D.C. And so now the United States has been divided up, and the eastern half of the country is run by the Nazis, and the west coast is run by the Japanese Empire. And then in the middle, around the Rocky Mountains, is a no man's land in between the two. And that's the basic premise. Again, but it's a Philip K. Dick story, so it's going to be weirder than that, and it's going to involve alternate realities, and it's going to be all sorts of stuff. But I'm only one episode in, and I'm just telling you, The Man in the High Castle is so well constructed. It is so, so beautifully done. The attention to detail is really, really nice. And it's set in 1963-ish, I think. It's set whatever year he actually originally wrote the story itself. And I don't know if later seasons are going to move forward in decades. I have no idea. But they're imagining a 1960s America if America had been run by the Nazis for the last 20 years. And that's a fascinating concept, and it creates a really interesting world. And so I'm really hooked on this thing already. and I'm just one episode in. So Man in the High Castle, man, everyone says it's spectacular. So I can only imagine it keeps getting better from here. But hopefully it's as good as I'm thinking it is. I'm enjoying it. So there you go. That's what I'm watching right now. I told you, none of these are going to be all that detailed. What do I have? Okay. You're going to need to get the little ones out of the room and make sure you're sitting down for this.
Nerd rage came flashing back, and I just looked at him and went, "Rrr!"
That's right. It's time for some nerd rage. Oh, all right. This is what's been getting me. For the last month or two, I've been noticing it, and I realize it's been going on a lot longer than that, but it's really getting to me right now. Why is it that my favorite flavors of drinks are always out everywhere I go? It's killing me. Okay. Diet Dr. Pepper. All right. Diet Dr. Pepper is one that is my favorite drink. I drink it all the time. I have an open one right here next to me that I've been sipping between segments. Diet Dr. Pepper. If you go to the store, if I go over to my local grocery and there's a sale going on, all right, that they've got, you know, three boxes of Dr. Pepper products, you know, you can get three cases for, you know, whatever the low price is, and you will look down and invariably the diet will all be gone. The others are still there. There's always plenty of 7-Up sitting around there and plenty of regular Dr. Pepper, but the diet Dr. Pepper goes first because the minute it goes on sale, that's the most popular one and everybody snaps it up quick. All right. And I wouldn't have thought Diet Dr. Pepper was that popular, but apparently it is because that's the one that sells out first every time. But at least Dr. Pepper's got its shit together. And when it's not some big sale thing that's causing people to clear the shelves, generally there's Diet Dr. Pepper available for me. All right. They know how to stock it correctly, get the right proportions so that, again, barring any weird sale, at least I've got some. All right. But my wife drinks I think they're just called sparkling ice. I don't know which company makes them, but they're sparkling ice. They're flavored carbonated waters. And her sparkling ice flavor of choice is black raspberry. And whenever I go to our local grocery, Hy-Vee, or when I go to Walmart, both of them carry this brand. And I will go through and I would say 3 times out of 4, all the flavors are fully stocked except for the black raspberry, completely empty. All right. And so what that means for me is if I show up and they happen to have black raspberry and it happens to be stocked, I will take all of them. All right. Which is why they're always out, is because there are several other people like me who that's their flavor. That's the only one they want. And so they clear that shit out. And now there's none for anybody else because I take every single one of them when I get there, which is usually like, you know, 20 or 30 of them. All right. Which, you know, will last us a little while, but like, because I don't know when the next time I'm going to see it is. So I take them all. Right. And that's what kills me is that sitting right next to it, you know, they've got 3 little rows for black raspberry, and then right next to it, 3 little rows for mango peach. And guess what? Nobody takes the mango peach. Mango peach is always full. Why does mango peach need 3 rows? All right. Why do any of those other ones need 3 rows? They don't sell out every single time like black raspberry does. Is it because they like the balance? They like the color stripes. So they like having the same, they like having their little pattern. And if they wound up with 6 rows of black raspberry, well, then it would throw off their whole rainbow. And I don't know why. I don't know why. And yet every single time, both stores, if it's either they just stocked it and they've got it there and I take it all, or it's completely out. And it's frustrating. All right. But that one's not as frustrating because, you know, that's Lisa's drink. It's not my drink. No, my drink, the other one that gets me, is the exact same thing for Monsters. It's Monster Java. So it's one of the Monster coffees. And I don't like energy drinks. I don't like Monster, but man, do I like the Monster coffee. And specifically, I like the one flavor. I like Kona Blend. All right. Kona Blend Monster Java is awesome. All of their other flavors of Monster Java taste like crap. All right. The salted caramel is tolerable. Salted caramel is not bad because they basically just add enough sugar to it that it's okay. All right. But it's really nothing but them loading it up with sugar. And All the others, though, are just terrible. All right. They're Loca Moca, which is supposed to be their chocolate flavor. Oh, God, it's nasty. They're Mean Bean. Oh, yeah, it's supposed to sound tough and edgy and whatever. Oh, God, they all taste like crap. They're Irish. They're all horrible. It's just Kona Blend. That's the only one I like. So every single gas station in town and my local grocery store, they all have the case for Monster, and they all have the nice lineup of Monster Java flavors along the top row. And invariably, every single time I show up, all of those rows are full except Kona Blend, completely empty. And I keep thinking, okay, maybe they're phasing out the Kona Blend. No, they still have a tag on it. It's still a label there that says this is where Kona Blend goes, and yet all the others, fully stocked, Kona Blend, gone. What? Why? Why? Yeah, look, no one's drinking that Mean Bean crap. You can tell because it's all still there. Why can't I have an extra row for why do they not have, like, or at least if you don't want to get the extra row for it, I mean, all these cases stock from the back. They all have their little walk-in refrigerator section where they stock their sodas. So why are there not just three more boxes of Kona Blend sitting on the floor back there so they can keep restocking when I take them? Why is this so tough, people? I don't get it. I don't get it. And the worst part, and maybe, see, now with the Monster Java, I'm thinking maybe it's me. Except that my flavor is always the one sold out. But maybe they are phasing it out. I don't know, because to me, the absolute worst ones, the worst Monster coffees, and I've tried all of them because, you know, I liked Kona Blend so well that I thought, oh, okay, well, I'll try some of their others. And I never found another one I liked. So it's just the Kona Blend. All right. But the two absolute worst by far are the Loca Moca, which I get it. It's supposed to be chocolate and yet it's not. It's just crap. All right. And the Mean Bean, which again, crap. And yet those two are the ones that they actually make in the little 4-pack boxes. Those are the ones that you can get cases of. You can't buy cases of any other flavor, just those two. Why are they doing that? Did they make, you know, giant vats of this crap and now they have to find some way to market it and get it out of there? I don't understand because they taste terrible. All right. Which makes me then wonder, okay, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's because I'm old. Maybe it's because I'm old and when young people buy these, maybe they prefer the really shitty flavors because I don't know. Taste buds are different at that age. I have no idea. I don't get it. So anyway, all right. That's my rage is for these three drinks in particular, Diet Dr. Pepper, Sparkling Ice Black Raspberry, and Monster Java Kona Blend. Why? Why? It's the one I want. It's the one that seems to be most popular because it's always out. Why don't they stock them properly? That's all I want. It's not that tough, people. All right. Okay. Enough of that. Was that silly? Probably. That's okay. It still annoys the crap out of me because I just want a Kona Blend every time. In fact, actually, it's become kind of a deal for me that I walk into a gas station because for a while I'd walk in and I'd go, okay, buying that Monster coffee it's too much money. I don't need to spend $2.59 at a gas station for a can of coffee. As much as I like the taste and as much as it gives me that jolt of double caffeine, I don't need to be wasting that kind of money on it. But because they were almost always sold out, it was nice to be able to walk in and say, all right, here's the deal. If I walk over and there's a Kona Blend on the shelf, that's my treat for me. If there's not a Kona Blend, I'm not going to settle for some lesser salted caramel garbage. I'm not going to get anything. I'll just go get a regular coffee or who knows what. All right. I'm not going to waste all that money. But if they have the one I want, I'll get it. That'll be my treat. And for a while that was working. So like every third, fourth, fifth time I went to the gas station for something, they'd happen to have the one I like. Okay. Special treat. But now it's been 3 weeks since I've seen a Kona Blend in this town. There's some sort of shortage. Maybe the Kona truck got hijacked. Maybe I can only get it on the black market now. I don't know. It's killing me though. All right. Enough of that. Oh man. All right. Yeah. No, I'll do it. Before we go into the next one, before we go to the Pot-O-Matic, I've got a segment I haven't done for a long time. It's the word of the week. And I don't even remember what voice I used to use for the word of the week. But that's what I'm going to use now. They all sort of blend together anymore. The word of the week this week is gaslighting. And I only bring it up because I've heard the term gaslighting. It's very popular right now. And I had to go look it up myself, about 2-3 weeks ago, because I kept seeing it referred to, and it was an article about our older generations trying to gaslight the millennials, which we're not, and that's a misuse of the term. But I get the point of the article. But I had to look up what gaslighting means, and apparently, gaslighting is where you know that someone is onto something. You know that they basically you're trying to convince somebody else that they're crazy. All right, that they are perceiving something that is real and is actually happening to them, but you try and convince them that it's all in their head, and you try and convince them that they're crazy, and thus you're not at fault. It's a extension of a very passive aggressive way of behaving. And so trying to convince someone that their complaints are not legitimate because they're just crazy. Okay. I get that. I see that that's a useful term, a fun term, an easy one to bandy about. What I didn't know, even after looking it up, is where it actually came from. And I got that from Helen Saltzman, from the podcast The Illusionist. And if you do not listen to The Illusionist and you have any interest in wordplay at all, go listen to it. It's like once a week or so, and it's only 15, 20 minutes long tops. And Helen Saltzman is very clever, and she is in love with words, and that comes through in her podcast. And I really like listening to it. And so she had a little tiny bit on gaslighting, and so it made me do a little bit of further research. Apparently gaslighting is from a British play called Gaslight, and that was made into a 1940s British movie called Gaslight, which was then remade as a 1944 American movie, this one starring Ingrid Bergman, and thus it's the one that most people would know if they are familiar with this at all, also entitled Gaslight. And in fact, not only Ingrid Bergman, but Angela Lansbury had a part as the maid that winds up flirting with the woman's husband. And in the movie Gaslight, there's a very convoluted setup for it, but apparently this guy is a criminal. He murders a woman in her home, but he needs to get back into this house in order to get the jewels. All the stuff's been hidden away somewhere, and he winds up, for whatever reason, he can't get to the stuff. Now, later, runs into the woman's niece. He actually pursues her, convinces her to fall in love with him, marries her, and then he convinces her to move back into this aunt's home so that he can go back in there and try and recover the jewels. And so throughout the course of this movie, again, this is a big, long, convoluted setup, but lots of things that happen that maybe she's kind of on to him. And so he starts doing stuff to convince her that she's crazy, and thus he can have her committed and have free reign of the place, run of the place. And there's a lot of things. And the term gaslighting, the title of the movie itself, comes from one of the mysterious things that happens in the movie is she keeps thinking that the lights are flickering. And, well, the lights would be flickering because they have gas lighting. And the lights would be flickering when he sneaks back into the home at odd hours, and he's upstairs, and he's using the lights upstairs as he's searching around. And so whenever he's in there and he turns on a light somewhere, it causes her lights to flicker, because that's how gas lighting works. I wouldn't have known that. All right. And so that's part of it, is that the lights keep flickering, and he's convincing her that it's all in her head because, well, there's nobody in the house and nothing's going on. So clearly that can't be happening. Along with other things. I mean, things like, you know, taking stuff of hers and hiding it, and then convincing her that no one's been in here and you must have misplaced it yourself, and having items removed, but then they show up in her purse later, and he's convincing her that she must be going into some sort of fugue state and becoming a kleptomaniac, or who knows what. But anyway, it was a big, long process of him trying to convince her that she's crazy, for his own ends. And hold on, I have an alarm going off. And the alarm is done. And I have no idea how the movie ends. I just did enough research to understand that that was the whole point of the term gaslighting. But I thought it was fascinating. So there you go. I've now shared it with you. Or if you want a better version of that, you can go listen to The Illusionist and listen to Helen Saltzman tell it, and you'll get the better version of it. But that's everything I wrote down. So I guess it's time to move on to the Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog, this is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. Lost my place. Oh, where do these topics come from, you ask? That is where you come in. You want to hear me have Ron about something? You send your question or topic to me by email or on a Christmas card like Ronster did. That was pretty clever. Or better yet, in a private message on my forums. I'll add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And the first number up here is 39. 39 is from Kyle. Kyle says, just as I was getting ready to start hating Melissa McCarthy, she gave a performance in Ghostbusters that was fantastic. Is this the turning point for her? Or am I just going to go back to hating her? I have no idea. I haven't seen Ghostbusters yet, but I'm not surprised because for me, the turning point was Spy. I thought Spy was spectacular. I absolutely love that movie. I've talked about it on the podcast before. I don't know. But, you know, after she did Spy, she did, what was the next one? The Boss? I can't remember the name of that one. I think that was it. And that one did not look appealing to me at all. I didn't bother to go see it. I haven't seen Ghostbusters yet, although I want to. I don't know. Melissa McCarthy is very, very talented, but in most of the things she does, I just don't care for it. I think she's a very specific type of humor. And if it's not the right script for her, then yeah, I think it's tough. But yeah, she's got a lot of talent. So, hopefully she keeps making good choices and hopefully she can keep doing stuff that we enjoy. I have no idea for sure. 12. 12 is, there it is. Oh, 12 is from D-Rod. Oh, this is great. D-Rod sent me a ton of these. All right. This is a long one. D-Rod says, are you familiar with the emotional spectrum associated with Green Lantern? No, D-Rod, I'm not. Would you tell me? He continues. Green is for willpower, yellow fear. All right, those are the two we saw in the really crappy Ryan Reynolds movie. But then red is for rage, blue is for hope. Indigo, compassion. Orange for greed. That's amazing. Sapphire for love. Black is death. And white is life. So black is the absence of color. White is all colors together. All right, so D-Rod continues. Rings from each respective core choose individuals that are able to harness a specific trait. No, I'm not asking you which one you want. I'm asking which core would most likely choose you. And then he ends, and this is, I love this, all caps, tell me. Okay, D-Rod, I'll tell you. The core most likely to choose me, I think, would be the blue ring. I think hope. Because I'm a very positive, optimistic, I would hope that I would fit in with hope, compassion, love. Any of those would be fine. Which are all, by the way, in the range of blue, indigo, sapphire. But I think I'm going to go with hope is probably the most likely one. I think that's a, again, purest optimism. That's where I'm going with it. 78. 78 is from, it's from Kyle again. Oh, we haven't heard from Kyle in a while. What's the last card game you played? How was it? What was the last card game I played? I think Cobras, but I don't know. I can't remember maybe Sushi Go was after Cobras. Oh, nope. Exploding Kittens. My wife's right. I got Exploding Kittens for Christmas. That was the last one I played for sure. Loved it. I love Exploding Kittens. It's a great game. That was another one that we introduced a couple people to Exploding Kittens at New Year's Eve, just before we played Secret Hitler. And it was one that I could tell my sister-in-law was just so doubtful about it. She was like, okay, sure, whatever. And she's kind of playing along and it's not, you know, she's not putting much into it. And then it starts getting down to the bottom of the deck where, oh, I get it. Yeah, the exploding kittens are kind of piling up on us, aren't it? Oh, it's a little strategic. And then it was really cool. And so by the end of it, she was totally into it and we had a really good game. So it went over well. I really liked that because again, introduced my sister-in-law to it, and she was just, you could just see she was very doubtful at the beginning and then completely converted by the end. So it was fun. 46. 46 is from, oh, there, oh, oh, man, so close. There we go. 46 is from Mrs. Darks. And Mrs. Darks says, would Noah be interested in writing a science book for kids? I would totally buy that book. I like the way his brain works. He probably would. If I know Noah, that's really kind of the thing he does. Yeah. So.
It was his idea and
yeah. That's true. That's true. It would have to be his idea. We would have to find some way of incepting that into his brain while he slept so he would think it was his own idea, because if it was some sort of assignment or if he felt like he had to do it, no, there's no chance. There's no fun in that. But if he came up with it himself, oh yeah, he would totally be into that. 83. And 83 is from Ronster. All right, Ron. Ron said, oh, it's not one of his new ones. Darn. It says, I know of three different podcasts by Game Masters, Dungeon Masters that live in Nebraska. Really? I don't know the others. You'll have to share with me. Why is Nebraska such a hotbed for Game Master habitation? My wife has her hand up. Yes? Cause there's nothing else to do here but watch corn grow. That's right. You have to be creative. So, I have no idea. I did not realize that was a thing, but okay. I'll take credit for it. I probably started that trend. It was me. 61. And 61 is from my wife, Lisa. My wife, Lisa says, what's your shoe size? I believe she wrote this question and sent it to me while I was still recording, right after I had mentioned how many times I get the question, what's your shoe size? And my shoe size, by the way, is 12-ish. I can wear a 12, I can wear a 12 and a half, depends on the exact shoe or fit, but yeah, usually 12. So close enough. This is, 69, dude. 69 is from Ronster again. And Mr. Ron says, this is one of the ones he just sent me on a Christmas card. Santa has just acquired a 10th reindeer and you get to name it. It can be male or female. What do you name it? All right. I am tempted to name it Olive because of the Olive the other reindeer special thing. Because that's when we play Holiday Hangman. That is actually one of our favorite holiday puzzles, is to put up Olive the other reindeer, because people eventually get it, and then every time they do, they're like, whatever. See, something about that reaction really tickles me and Yancey. So, but not Olive. If I was going to name a 10th reindeer, to go along with, because you gotta, should it fit along with the others? Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid. I mean, should we go along with the whole theme and keep it in that? Or should we just be creative and name it, Odin? I mean, something like that. That's a good pet name, by the way, Odin. I mean, my brother used to have a dog named Odin. Lisa, you got a name for a reindeer? She got nothing over there. All right, then tell you what. I am going to go with Odin. 62. 62, is that? Yep, that is 62. 62 comes from Daz. All right. Daz asks, did the Jedi get their collective asses kicked because they were a bunch of loosely confederated hippies with laser swords? Does this therefore mean that the Empire was simply misunderstood and that the dark side can be controlled and used for good? I think we've demonstrated that the dark side cannot be controlled and used for good. Although, there is the gray, whatever that middle thing is. I don't know if that comes from books or video games or what it is, but somehow that by balancing the two sides of the force, you maintain balance and thus you can use the positive and dark sides, simultaneously and thus wield even greater power. I don't know. No, I think, first off, the Jedi got their collective asses kicked because, it's hard to say why, because those movies were so convoluted and stupid. But Yeah, possibly, because they were a bunch of loosely confederated hippies with laser swords. But I don't know enough about the expanded universe to really dig deep. I mean, based solely on the movies, it would seem that the dark side cannot be controlled and used for good, at least not for any length of time. But, you know, maybe we'll find out different down the road. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of faith in that, but it could happen. 48. And 48 is from – it's from Kyle. All right. Kyle says, word association, butt, rifle. Oh, hey, look at that. I immediately thought rifle, but I don't know why. But now butt rifle sounds amazing. All right. Now, to be fair, I try not to read ahead, but is it possible that I peripherally saw the word rifle there, and so when I read butt, I immediately associated rifle just because unconsciously I was reading the word? It might have happened. So I don't think we're actually psychic. I think maybe I kind of knew ahead of time. But you know what? Let's call it psychic. Let's pretend we were psychic on that one. 08. This will be our last one. And 08 is from someone named Kyle. And Kyle says, death match, a yawning kitten and a hairless panda cub. We're all winners in that scenario, aren't we? Well, okay, but it's in a death match. So, yawning kitten and hairless panda cub. I assume that if you put them together, it is possible that the panda cub, simply due to its size, is going to get a hold of this kitten and crush it, roll over on it, accidentally bite it in half. Maybe. But I think a hairless panda cub is actually pretty helpless. And I'm gonna vote on the panda cub starving to death before the kitten does, because I think that's ultimately going to determine who the winner is which one starves to death first. So I'm going to go with the yawning kitten on this one. Well, yes. Yeah, my wife points out that, you know, we have such an overpopulation of cats in this world that they're basically just pests, whereas we can't keep pandas alive for nothing. I mean, honestly, let's just wait them out. Kitten's going to win this one. All right, that was it for the Podomatics. I know what that means. That means I have to go to the credits. But before I can do the credits, I have to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she's going to give us a recap of the episode so far. Sorry, I forgot how this game works.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2017, the first time I get to say that, by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Weezer's In the Garage. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, Angry Geeks Versus, Cast and the Curious, Me Like Trivia, quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd people. If you want to do something nice for my podcast, recommend it to your friends. If you enjoy it, spread the word and let other people enjoy it. Seriously, word of mouth, my bread and butter, people. All right. Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me your questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all that grueling research. Although the research wasn't that grueling this week. 168 was easy. I got lucky this time, but I can't count on that every time. I need you people. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up there, send me a message. We will hang out together and become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start every podcast, I go out to Facebook and my forums at nerdcryradio.com/nerds, and I post up, hey guys, I am recording anything you guys want to post. I will share it right here at the end of the podcast, and that's what I'm doing. So let's go on out to Facebook first, and I have a couple of them here. The first one is from Nelly, and Nelly says, have you caught the plague yet? Oh, God, yes, we all did. It was terrible, but go back to the beginning of the podcast. I talk all about it. It was nasty. She says she also has, and then she says, how's it going with Magic the Gathering? I've played a couple more times since. I haven't bought my own cards yet or anything. But that may be coming up. Noah's got some cards now, so Noah and Aiden have been playing at home. But yeah, I'm excited about it. Still like the game. Not enough to get addicted on it. I don't want to invest a whole lot in it. But again, I also don't own my own cards yet, so we'll see how that goes. But, and then, the next one is from Pat, and Pat says, hey, you want to try the Pathfinder card game now? Yeah, sure, dude. Of course I do. I feel so bad. Are you finally caught up to that episode? Is that what's happened? He's way behind on episodes. So, which, by the way, I got the reason I was talking to Sarah Beth earlier is apparently they're driving somewhere. Pat is listening to very old episodes of the podcast. And so as he's getting to the episode where I talk about the word wicked and bringing it back, he wanted to inform me immediately that yes, up in the northeastern part of the country, they still use the word wicked as an expletive, as a modifier, and they use it completely unironically up there. It's still a term in vogue, which means, oh, I'm so jealous. I wish I could use wicked. That thing is awesome. And so he was so excited to hear that and had to let me know immediately, so that's why Sarah Beth had to send me a message while I was in the middle of Scouts to let me know that, yes, they still use wicked up there. So that was cool. All right, that is the end of Listener Betrayal on Facebook, but let me see what's on my website. On my website, oh, I have to refresh. I know how the internet works, people. Seriously. There we go. Hey, there's at least one. Oh, and it's Kaz, too. Awesome. All right, first, hold on. Yeah, I got to go through the whole process. Tell them I'm done. There we go. All right, now let's see what they have to say. All right. Kaz says, is it beginning to look a lot less like Christmas? Yeah. Have you put the decorations away yet? Taken down the tree? Yeah, we did. Yeah, we took everything down, put it away, cleaned up most of the mess. So, shush. Yes, the tree is gone. And then, grown tree or manufactured? Oh, we have an artificial tree. I am not bringing a live tree full of pine needles and allergy-inducing gross, whatever. Yeah, no, we're not doing that anymore. Plus, it's a fire hazard. Plus, it's, you know, not terribly eco-friendly of us, all of that. So, yeah, we've got the artificial tree. Although our artificial tree is now, what, 10 years old? It's getting kind of beat up and old. So I think we're going to get a new one next year. But it lasted us quite a while. Let's see. Oh, next one is from Mrs. Darks. And Mrs. Darks says, so, who's still in for Gen Con 2017? Well, okay, I am. I assume you and Pat are. Dave says he's pretty sure he's going to be able to make it. Kaz sounds like he's still hep to go with us. I have no idea about other people on your end. Andrew, I have no idea. And then my sons both said that they want to go, and Aiden says he's still going to go and that he'll have the money for it and all of that. I haven't talked to Jacob about it in a little while. But yeah, we still got quite a crew coming, so I think we're doing all right. So, all right, that's it. And then it's just me saying done. So we are all finished. Thank you guys for showing up. I am glad I finally got to get back on the microphone after 2 weeks. And I love you guys. It'll be an awesome time. See you next week. Say goodnight, R2.